ministry of intercessory prayer. Share with those around you that now is the time to turn to God. More than ever before, now is the time to ask God's help. And we get God's help through prayer. And if we don't pray and ask God's help, there is no help from God. We're told very clearly in the scriptures that if we ask, we receive. We're told also conversely that we have not because we ask not. It's very simple. It comes to prayer. God is there in ever-present help in time of need. But without prayer, there is no help. It's in our hands, friends. Thank you for standing in the gap for this land, praying together with me and the scores of millions of others across this land that are praying. Our hope is in God, and we commune with God in prayer. There's no other way. Again, this program is brought to you through the auspices of the Santa Cruz Educational Broadcasting Foundation. And so when you send in a check for the support of this ministry, please make a check payable to KFER. Our mailing address is A Time for Prayer, in care of radio station KFER, P.O. Box 13, Santa Cruz, California, 95063. Thank you, God bless you, and keep on praying.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And this evening we're going to have with us a special guest. His name is Vance Davis. And Vance is going to be speaking at a so-called conspiracy conference that's going to be held on the weekend of May 24th, 25th. That's Memorial Day weekend over in Santa Clara. One of a number of outstanding speakers have been asked. And of course, you can learn more about that if you want to by calling 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or you can go to their website at conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon for conference.com, and learn more about the people who are going to be there. The question is, what indeed is a conspiracy? Well, a conspiracy is two or more people planning something together in secret. In other words, they don't want people to know what they're doing. And is there anybody out there who doesn't believe that there are people constantly planning things in secret, and yet when they do that, that qualifies as a conspiracy? But the most amazing thing is the way they've been able to manipulate the minds of the American people. So anybody talks about anything having to do with a conspiracy is immediately somehow labeled a nut. And when you control the medium, when, of course, you were able by repetition to repeat things over and over and over again, eventually people come to believe what is not is true and what is true is not true. And unfortunately, that has happened in America. Well, Vance has been on the front lines of this battle to educate the American people for a number of years, since he and apparently a group of other people he was associated with broke with the military. I'm going to let Vance tell you the story. Hi, Vance. So good to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you. It's so nice to have you have me.
All right, fine. Well, now, remember, this is a different audience than you've talked to before.
Correct.
So you don't have to be concerned about being repetitive. So just tell our listeners who you are, what you are, and why you believe that there are some things going on in the world that have been concealed from the American people.
Well, I was involved in a case called ultimately called the Gulf Breeze 6, which was all the news newspapers and everything else in 1990, prior to the first Gulf War.
And you were called again the what?
The Gulf Breeze 6.
The Gulf Breeze 6, okay.
Yes, and we were captured in Pensacola, Florida in July, end of July, first of August in 1990, before the Gulf War really broke out.
And you were, of course, intelligence officers. Who were you working for?
I was an intelligence specialist, and I was paid for by the Army, but I worked for NSA.
All right.
And what happened was we discovered a lot of things that was going on in the real world, as the term you use there. There is a world that we perceive as our everyday lives in a city or in a country. And then there is a real world out there that is far different than our perception here. Things are going on that we never hear about, never see, never actually get to experience. And in the military, anybody who's traveled a lot in the military will tell you that there's a lot more going on in the world than we even hear about in the United States. Well, we were in the process of using several, even occult factors, to find out truth and find out untruth and just see what's going on in the world. And what we found, we made a decision to go AWOL.
Now, there were six of you?
Correct.
All right. And were you all working for NSA or what?
Yes, we were all in some form, shape, or form working with NSA through the Army intelligence also.
All right, of course, now back in 1990, most people had never heard of NSA and was referred to as no such agency.
Correct.
And of course, this is the super secret organization. They keep talking about the CIA, but of course, one of the most powerful organizations, certainly one of the most dangerous organizations, is NSA. I know I was talking to one of my friends who was working for them one time. He was over in Moscow, called me from a safe room there at the embassy, American embassy, asked me what I knew about NSA, and I said, not very much. And he said, well, that's a lot safer.
So, yeah.
Would that be a fair statement to make?
I think it is. Not as much as it used to be, because our general, Colin Powell, who's now the Secretary of State, I believe, came out with things about Iraq. And when you heard interceptions between Saddam Hussein and the generals when it was on national TV, that came from NSA.
In other words, what they do is they intercept all electronic communications. They listen to our faxes, read our faxes, listen to our conversations, record our emails. Basically, they do electronic surveillance of everybody in America throughout the world pretty well, don't they?
Not as much as America. They're more designed to anything outside the United States.
But, of course, they do have contracts with the British who do monitor what we do here.
Correct. That's through GCHQ.
All right, fine. So basically what they do is they monitor the rest of the world. Then they get the English to come here because it would be illegal for them to monitor American citizens. So they get the British to monitor the American citizens, and they monitor the British and European citizens.
See, that makes common sense, doesn't it?
Right. Of course,
if we can't do it, get someone else to do it.
Well, of course, we have to arrest them, or we wouldn't arrest them. We have to get this information on law-abiding American citizens because we're fighting terrorism and subversion.
And it's not just law-abiding. There's also, I worked on cases that dealt with the drug movement, and someone asked me, well, how come we haven't defeated drugs? Well, let me give you an idea here, Dr. Stan, to your audience. Would you want to cut off $40 billion coming into your country that sometimes our own police force, our own government, when they catch a cash, they get to keep that money?
Well, of course, wasn't the CIA involved with the drug smuggling?
In some of it, yes. Especially from our favorite friend down there in Panama.
You're talking about Noriega.
Yes, I am.
Right.
And he just got out of control. But anyway, in that sense, we went AWOL, and within 21 days, we were given honorable discharges. Which has never happened in the history of the United States military.
Because they really didn't want your information to come out?
Correct. They did not want us to take it to court, because if it did come into a tribunal or a court, they'd have to prove our evidence fault. And that was just, I think it's too much to ask for, because it would raise certain questions they don't want raised. We did not go AWOL for the purpose of the general public. We went AWOL one purpose, was to let the American Congress know that there were deals going on outside of their realm with our government, in the sense that our government, we don't even own our own debt. Someone else owns all of our debt. And we are essentially broke, completely broke. So when they talk about the economy and how much money we have and how much we don't have, we're really not playing with any money at all. It's all paperwork.
Absolutely. Well, it's a fiat money system. It's like monopoly money, but the people haven't learned that yet.
Right. And it's if the people ever learn that it's a false system or that it's a created system, then the economy, and I think some people are learning it somewhat, because the economy hasn't really been doing good lately. I think some people are realizing it's somewhat of a show.
Well, of course, I'm very clear, of course, that the whole world is going into a recession. And, of course, ordinary people think we're going to come out of that recession. They don't understand. Well, our leaders have been intentionally transferring our major businesses and major industries overseas.
Correct.
Both blue-collar and white-collar jobs, part of this whole program of redistributing our wealth. And, of course, as the dollar continues to fall and there are no jobs out there, more and more Americans are going to be pushed into a dependency. And where do they turn when there's a problem? Why they turn to government to help them.
Correct.
Well, that, of course, is now this whole thing is about, to bring everybody into government control, to do away with individual freedom. And that is why we have lowered our tariffs, actually subsidized American corporations going to other countries, and we're transferring America's wealth to communist China, which doesn't make sense. In fact, many of the components of our most sophisticated weapons are not manufactured in the United States today. They're manufactured in communist China by American factories that were just bought up here in the United States and we allowed to be shipped to communist China. Why would you do anything that stupid when China is in full military production for war? Or maybe our leaders have a different agenda that they don't dare tell the American people. So pick up the story from there, Vance.
Well, what's interesting, there's three aspects we have to look at, and I'll keep it very simple in the three aspects. First of all, the United States has been on a war economy since World War II. It has never been taken off, and we are constantly on that. We can't think any other way. So, and in that, because the economy is manufactured, in other words, it's manipulated to keep a growing economy going, has ever since World War II, at the end of World War II. So they keep trying to, you don't see the normal depression, recession that you would normally see prior to that period. Second thing is, you definitely have a global aspect, in some sort, a small group of individuals that, and if you want to call them families, you want to call them aliens, you want to call them whatever you want to call them, there is a small group of individuals that hold enough power in the world to dictate what other nations do. And their goal, of course, is to create a new world or a new world government, which has been talked about since the early 1700s. They have been slowly building that. They believe they have all the time in the world, as we know. But it's, and the third thing is that this one thing stopping all of this from happening to your audience and to you, Dr. Stan, that we learned is the United States. The United States is stopping this potential growth of this new world government. Because the United States refuses, its people and parts of its government, refuses to let go of its nationalism.
But, of course, there are other parts of our government that are dedicated to this dream.
And correct.
The American people certainly don't want to give up their freedom or sovereignty. And there are certain parts of our government that I think many parts of our military are still very loyal to this American dream and concept. But there are wicked people in positions of power who march to a different drumbeat, who hear a different trumpet, who dream this internationalist dream you're speaking of.
Yes, and they're going to use every aspect, even natural events. They will use man-made events like the terrorist bombings in the Oklahoma City and in the World Trade Center. They will use every event they can to create a form of fear. And the next thing they will use, and I think this is very important, whether it's real or not, and there is a truism to it, they will use the fear of an alien attack force to draw the world together, or a natural catastrophe like an asteroid hit.
How about a new epidemic that's sweeping the world and killing about 3% of the people? You know, if 3% of the whole world were to get this, why, of course, that would be an awful lot of 100 million people.
Well, my wife has worked in a lab as a lab tech, and what's interesting, we haven't seen any evidence of any SARS prior to this event, and all of a sudden, within a week, over 300 people in China get SARS. All of a sudden, out of the blue. And over in China, if you read the foreign press, it talks about it came from an animal over there. Well, it transferred from an animal and became a human host, just like chickenpox did.
But of course, is that really true, or is that what we're being told? And
exactly.
I will tell you, I checked with one of the nation's leading scientists this evening, and, well, we don't want to get off on SARS, but there's a great deal that I suggest that this is a man-made virus, because, of course, has within its component not only the coronavirus, but the chlamydia part of a bacterium, and the chance of that happening by accident is about 1 in a billion. The chance of it happening in our laboratories would be simply enough money to engineer this, and they've got lots of money.
Yep.
And, of course, if it'll kill off 3% of the world's population, that'll have a profound impact on, well, we got too many people anyway, don't we? At least that's what they'd have us
believe. What they say, yes. Well, because if you look at, if they are truly going for a control aspect, then, yes, there's too many people, because if you have too many people, they can see what's happening. Would you agree?
Right.
Okay, they can't have that, because they've had control somewhat of at least of the westernized world for a long time. And in a sense, I think, and this, I'm going to put a positive twist to this, it's my belief that they are losing that control is why we're seeing this happening more and more out in the open, because they're scared to death that what the Bible talks about and other things talks about, that they are going to ultimately lose control, and they don't want to. And they'll do everything, including killing people, to stop that from happening. And that, of course, brings up Armageddon, brings up the coming back of Christ. It also brings up the fact that there could be an Antichrist, that someone they pick or someone they choose to lead the world to a proposed peace,
mm-hmm.
which is not. I mean, all of this now is within our technology to be done today, right now. And that's what people don't realize. It doesn't mean that the whole world has to be involved, just enough for the westernized world or the civilized world that would the rest of the world would follow.
All right, fine. Well, of course, what were you actually discovering? Were you finding as you were beginning to work in NSA, that there were really plans to create diseases, or there were plans to create economic cycles that would plunge America into a catastrophe or create wars? What did you actually discover, you and your five friends?
Well, let's discuss that in that aspect, the way you phrased your question. Let's discuss that object. We dealt with, and early on in my career, we dealt with what-if situations. And that's part of our job as intelligence, to deal with what-if. One of the aspects that I dealt with is, in effect, what would you do with a city as large as Los Angeles, and you had evidence within a week that there was going to be a major earthquake of over 10? What would you do as a government official, Dr. Stan?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you would certainly try to evacuate the city. That would be the
first
thing.
Could you do it? Could you evacuate over 10 million people in a week?
No, you couldn't.
No,
you couldn't. There would be no place to put them. That would be the problem.
That would be the problem. So they chose, the government has chosen, only to let certain government officials there know, and basically not tell the public.
But of course, how would they know ahead of time there was going to be a earthquake of 10 on the Richter scale?
And that's the question you have to ask yourself, because there are weapons that we can use to create that. And those are called scalar weapons, and
those are energy weapons. Was this actually brought out? Was this something you were contemplating?
No, this is already brought out, that Russia was already working on scalar weapons or energy weapons at the time that I was in there. And it was a major concern with the United States government.
And this was Tesla technology?
Yes, it was.
All right, fine. And so they said that this is what we'd do, and we'd only, of course, notify the government officials. Some, like before 9/11, they notified government officials the attack was coming. That's why so many of the Defense Department officials canceled their flights for the 11th of September 2001, the day of the attack on the World Trade Center. And if you want to check that out, it's in Newsweek magazine on the 24th of September 2001.
Right.
We have the article. So they only notified select people like Mayor Willie Brown, but then they left the rest of the people to fly on the planes.
And that's exactly, and if we see and we watch what we're doing over in the Gulf War and what we did earlier, one of the practices that we came up with, how do you control a city of that size? Well, it's called starve and surround. And what that means is you basically you shut down every highway and every major road that people can get in and out of. And you basically starve it. You shut off power, you shut off energy, you shut off water, and you wait it out. And because fighting door-to-door doesn't work. I mean, you're pretty well bogged down. And in a sense, we have seen that in the National Police Force that I talked about at one point, or what we now have is the Homeland Security. It's how you control a large population.
But, of course, they weren't talking about fighting with this earthquake. Are we talking about some other possibility of things happening in our cities?
Correct. And that we were told in 1990 that there was going to be events down the road that would cause riots within the cities to the point that they would have to declare martial law. Now, that doesn't mean we're talking the major cities. And in a sense, if you look at Homeland Security and you think about this, are not our cities and airports in a way already under martial law?
Well, certainly they when you go through those lines, why, if you object at all, why you can readily be arrested. But you know, the thing that most people don't understand is that everything going on was planned long ahead of time. And if anybody doubts that, we have a government report came out in September of 1999. No, it was September of 2000. September of 2000. Actually, laying out the whole program for the Office of Homeland Security a year before the 9/11 attack. Anybody who wants to see that report, came out from a committee made up of members of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's called Phase 3 of the United States Commission on Security in the 21st Century. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Vance Davis, and of course, when we get back, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. This is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this evening, Vance Davis, and we're talking about, of course, the things he was told working in the NSA. Were you sort of a planner? Was that your job?
No, I was an intelligence specialist, and I basically broke down the communications and had to decide what was doing, where was moving, who was doing what, when, where, and how, and had to put together for a time those reports for my upper command. So I've seen basically all aspects. I worked the Middle East, I worked Russia, and I worked South America for a time.
Okay.
So, and those aspects. And you have to ask yourself, Dr. Stan, why would the government over the past 30 years be preparing the public for something the public doesn't even know exists?
Well,
what would be so drastic that they would have to create a homeland security or this or that? It's not the fear of terrorism. The country is so big, we always had that fear, especially in intelligence. There's something else going on that we, as a public, are not being told. And we just touched on an edge of it in 1990, just on the edge.
What was this thing that was so big that we couldn't tell the American people?
Well, the edge that we found, and it scared us. I mean, it really did. It really disturbed us, was that there is a... How do I put it? There is a real threat, at least a perceived threat, out beyond the Earth. And we're talking aliens, we're talking some other things, but it's not the way that the UFO field has stated it, or the UFO people out there. It's far more sinister, in a way, that there are people here on the Earth, or within our government, that works with certain forces, and work with other forces that want to control the Earth and the aspects of it. And there's another side of it that doesn't want that type of control, so there's a battle that's always going on, if you want to call it good versus evil or whatever you want to call it, there's many names it can be called, there is this struggle. And some win, somehow it's going to come to a head. I talked about one time with you about Washington's vision, about the third battle that Washington, George Washington, our president, had, about how all the nations of the world, for the most part, come against the United States and actually attack us on the borders and push us back well into the country before we are able to defeat them. And what's interesting is that what we learned in 1990 has somewhat come to pass. The border of Mexico is very tenuous in the fact that special forces have gone down there into caves and found enough weapons and everything else from China now, Dr. Stan, that could basically supply a full battalion of soldiers. And these are all over the place. Same in Canada. We're finding our European friends not being our allies as much as they used to be. Russia, as we discussed, is still the same Russia. They just changed somewhat the way they do business.
But
they're still the same people in control.
And what you're basically saying is this whole thing then of the fall of Russia, as we perceived it, communism is dead, there's no more communism in the world, we won the Cold War, that really isn't true?
That is not true.
All right.
Communism is very strong and very alive, just as democracy is very strong and very, very alive. And that, to me, is a outward battle that's going on that the public sees.
All right, we're going to have to interrupt you there
for just a
moment, and then we'll be right back here. And we do have a caller. We'll get to him in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, let's see. First of all, I want to talk about these aliens, but before we get to that, we've got Mike on the line. So let's get Mike's question here. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Stan, just a question or two regarding things to be afraid of from outer space. In the last year or so, there's been this thing going around about a Planet X And I wondered if your guest had heard anything about that, and where in the world is this story coming from?
All right. Do you know anything about Planet X, Vance?
I have tracked it through other people, and even some astronomers have been tracking some unusual activities out there. And it's supposedly there is an object that's off our ecliptic that is coming in. And from everything I've read from the astronomy field, that this object could have a 10,000 to 15,000-year cycle. In other words, running around the sun. And, of course, this brings up some old ancient stories from Sumeria, from the Egyptians about the Death Star, about the Hopis have the story of great-grandfather, or the father that comes in and turns the world upside down. So there is some fear and some unusual activity in the government, especially with the Vatican and its ability with astronomy.
Is this real, or is this whole thing a put on? Just one more thing for us to be afraid of.
I think there is a reality to it. I believe that because of things I saw while I was in the service, and this is several years ago now, almost 13 years ago. There were some things that pointed that they knew some things that were out there that they could not account for. And I just, you know, if you read some of the ancient books, things happen. They now know through fact that the Dark Ages were definitely a dark age, in the sense that it was dark all the time. They found dust in the air from asteroid hits, from all kinds of stuff that really affected the Middle Ages.
All right, fine.
So there are some truths to this. As far as someone using it to get the people to do something or create a global power, that's something that's questionable.
All right. Mike, yeah. Anything else?
Well, there's another story about... I'm right now looking for this magazine, astronomy magazine from, I believe, in the late 80s or something. It had an article about the likelihood of our sun actually being a double star, and this other star is not lit up.
A brown dwarf.
Hmm?
It's a brown dwarf.
Uh-huh. And it's somewhere way far away and on its way back.
It's near the Oort cloud. Okay. And yes, I've heard of that, and that is talked about in the astronomy in colleges all the time from astronomers. And with new technology that they have gotten, being able to see dark matter, I heard a rumor, strictly a rumor now, that University of Arizona and UCLA and down in South America, supposedly they have discovered within our solar system a dark star, a brown dwarf. They now do not classify our sun as a G-star anymore. It's a K-star. In other words, it's a fluctuating sun, not like they used to believe it's stable. So there may be some truth to that, Mike.
There's another one. You mentioned the Sumerians and something that they saw in the sky. There's a book. The author is Mikanowski. Maybe you've read it. It's titled The Once and Future Star. And apparently what they saw was a supernova. And... I've been trying to track this down a little further. It may be the mark of the beginning of the Egyptian calendar.
I'm going to have to get that book and read that. I don't know, but that could be interesting because we also have the South American calendar that ends, what, in the next 10 years, supposedly?
11 or 12 years.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe they know something we don't. But there are things there that... a lot of unanswered questions. I haven't researched Planet X, so I'm like the unidentified sources.
Well,
I'm going to say I have no comment.
Well, let me give you something, Dr. Stan, to think about, because part of my job there was, in World War II, we used predictions against Hitler. Most people don't know that, but we used Nostradamus as a psyops ploy to defeat Hitler. We also use it in this aspect. The government does play in the occult. The government does look at it as a serious threat. They also look at it as a tool that can be used. They don't ignore predictions. We were given over 300 predictions that we were captured with about things that were going to happen over the next 30 years. Those items, when the government released our papers, those items were still blacked out and considered national security issues.
Mike, we're going to have to go to a break. Do you want to hang on after the break,
okay,
or
yeah.
Do you want to stay with us? What?
I'll hang on.
Okay, fine. And if we have a fascinating video. It's, of course, it's a fictional a story with Lou Gossett Jr. called Deceived. It's the story of the government's tapping into the dark side. If you want a gripping evening, it's available in DVD or in video. It's called Deceived, a fascinating Christian presentation going into what's really going on behind the scenes in our military today. Deceived. You don't want to miss that. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, if you are out there listening to us, we have with us a special guest this evening, Vance Davis, and on the line we have Mike, and of course, Mike is raising the question about Planet X, and of course, there is something in the prophecies of the future that in the end times there is to be a mountain, I believe, that's going to fall into the ocean. Yes. We have to assume that this is some sort of a momentous asteroid or something of the sort, and of course, it'll cause cataclysmic changes. Are we in the end times? I certainly don't know, but it is interesting that these things are recorded in the book and the revelation and that John received. Any more questions, Mike?
I mainly just wanted to agree with your guest that we are being fear-mongered into a corral of some sort, and they're doing a bang-up job of it. I think they... that's what they were doing with the Y2K thing. Of course, what that was really all about was giving them a chance to spend a lot of money on their own infrastructure that, well, we're paying for the noose that hangs us. But anyhow, thanks for having your guest on, Vance, and keep going.
Okay,
thank you, Mike.
Thanks so much, Mike. And our telephone number, if you're out there and you want to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY from out across America, or 464-8295. Now, you know, one of the things, if you, any of our listeners have read the book, the report from Iron Mountain was a government think tank that was contrived to try to figure out how to rule the American people if we ever did away with war. And they came up with various threats, because you have to have a threat to mobilize the people. And one of the things was, they said, well, maybe what we ought to do is try to convince the people we're attacked from outer space. And then we could rally the people behind the government. Well, they finally thought that the best method of rallying the people behind the government was to convince them there was an environmental crisis. And, of course, then, of course, we could, as it said, we may even have to contaminate the world, but that's all right. It certainly will allow the government to continue functioning and controlling the people. Now, this was made up a study of people of the intellectual elite. Their goal is to control us common folks. The report from Iron Mountain is must reading for anybody who wants to understand what's going on today. It was written in the mid-1960s by a man named Carl Lewin, who said at that time that it was definitely, he got this information from a high government official, part of the think tank that created the report from Iron Mountain. Now he says, I was lying then, and now I'm telling you the truth. I just got all this information from government documents. There are people who have said that they know about this, who are part of this. Joan Vian has an excellent treatise on the report from Iron Mountain in her book, Global Straitjacket. So certainly whether it was real, it's contrived, it is the mind comp for what's going on today. And of course, they're trying to convince us of the danger of aliens from outer space. But is there some supernatural element there that they fear, and perhaps we should be fearful of as well? But of course, if we know the Lord, we're not going to be fearful, because fear is the enemy of ability to function and function effectively. Right now we have Herman calling in from Carmel. Hi, Herman.
Good evening. Very interesting program. Does your guest, do you know anything about the chemtrails or contrails?
Yes, I do. I've met several of the people that work on that project, and I know they found blood cellular level blood aspects and some other highly interesting metals and so forth and so on.
But is there any chemical element? In other words, any bacteria at all, or any sort of the government's explanation that they've given out many times is this is a vaccine. We want to vaccinate the people, you know, because we want to make them healthy.
Well, let's look at that in a way. Let's play with the truth and non-truth in a sense. And we can't really answer the question what they're actually doing. But there's some interesting aspects that I have found in working with some of the researchers and talking with them and some of my own experience in the military is, if there is a true threat, and let's say it's alien, let's just throw out there, let's say it's alien, and the alien, let's say we want to protect the world from these aliens, what if we discovered over the past 50 years that we've dealt with some alien forces, that they have certain weaknesses, and that we can take, even though there's a small percentage of population like SARS that's going to die from these things, but what if they introduce into the population genetic, chemical, biological, and even bacterial changes within the human system that would make us unfavorable to the aliens for use? Is that a possibility? That is possible. So in a sense, it could be a vaccine. It could be something that could save us. But at the same time, someone else could use the same project to create the opposite effect.
And
so population control.
So what is it? That's the question. Is it good? Is it for good or is it for evil?
I think it's for both. I think there's too many agencies involved in this and that they've added their own piece to this mess. And they've created a menagerie and they really don't know what they're doing. And in a sense, when you mix things like that, they're playing God, in a sense. And I think they're going to mess things around. Ultimately, who knows what's going to happen.
All right.
I've heard stories of sterilization happening in some countries from these chemtrails.
All right. Anything else, Sherman?
One other thing regarding UFOs, I've heard the postulation that they're actually from inner space, that they come from inside the Earth, and that the inside of the Earth has hollow areas to it, and that they could be biological manufactured robots being flown in them, but being sent from within the Earth.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, Herman, that we hear from India a story of an ancient battle where the India fought back the northern people by flying these flying carpets or these vimana. And they were flying ships. And, of course, we have the blue being, I forget his name now, the blue being that helped them form their forces to fight these back. We also have stories out from the Indians in California and in the Southwest talking about the people near Utah up in the mountain that we don't go visit, that we don't talk to. They only come out when they want to. So I believe there are, we're not the, you know, and let's raise a question here, gentlemen. And to the rest of your audience, even the women here, what if humans, and I'm going to bring this up because there is some interesting evidence found in history, what if humans are not from this planet? What if we were survivors of another planet that came here and we survived? We survived a war, we survived a catastrophe that destroyed a planet, and we're what's left of that race.
But is there any proof of that?
Well, astronomy will say that there's a missing planet, and unfortunately that planet tends to fit between the Earth and Mars, and of course we have the asteroid belt. What could be causing that? Mathematics is saying we're missing a planet, so where is it? What happened to it? At the same time, our diversity and our culture, there are things here genetically, and they're using now, I want to say this word right, Dr. Stan, myological DNA, or down to base DNA, that we're only related as humans to only two or three other beings or other animals in the whole Earth. So it makes it very rare. And, of course, we hear about the stories that there were gods that came here and messed with the ape man and changed them to make workers. We hear stories like that in ancient texts all the time. The Sumerian talk about that. So is that fact? We don't really know because we're not being told enough to make educated guesses. And that's my point, that the public is being left out of the loop to decide our own destiny. And that's a problem.
Well, of course, is it possible that these entities that you're talking about are really demonic beings, supernatural beings that are tied in? And, of course, the Bible tells us that at one time these demonic beings mated with women, and, of course, they created the Nephilim, and, of course, God was so upset and furious that he punish the people for turning against him and embracing evil, that he destroyed the entire earth. And certainly whether you talk about the Sumerian traditions or the Mayan traditions or the Egyptian traditions, everybody writes about that great flood that occurred
in another time. And if you read the Bible, Dr. Stan, and read Genesis, it says when Cain killed Abel, Cain was kicked out to the land of Gog, and he married and had children. Well, if humans were there, and they were the only two, Adam and Eve, along with Abel, who did Cain marry?
One of his sisters. But right now, let's go to...
But it doesn't say that.
Well, I know, but of course, there's certain things that you have to use your imagination on.
Right.
You don't know that there was somebody from outer space, and it would be far easier to believe that, that they had children almost on every 9 months or year. And there could be a few women around who were... would be a sister's, might call it incest today, but if the only people in the world are your sisters, why, you'd probably marry them. Let's go. Herman, do you have anything else you want to ask?
No, that's fine. I'll be interested to hear what else you have to say.
Okay, let's go to Tony calling in from SoCal. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, our friends were out spraying the skies again today with our chemtrails. That's what my question had to do with.
They were down in Los Angeles last week during the spring, and you know there are so many questions about this. Some people believe it has to do with weather control. Other people they're just experimenting to find out where the clouds are going to go to, so that when the time comes to really spray the entire country, they'll know exactly what they're spraying. Who knows what they're doing? I know is that they are intentionally putting out disinformation, and they are releasing to the military and to the military this idea, oh, we're giving them vaccines. Now, I will tell you, you can actually spray vaccines, and they actually do this with certain animals in the forests, in the reserves in Africa, to create infertility. So they know exactly how to do it. They have such advanced technology. The trouble is they don't want the American people to know how advanced their technology is.
Well, I've read a lot of different theories on the Internet. There's about 10,000 websites on chemtrails. I'm not exaggerating the number.
It's probably true.
there are. And I've done a lot of, let's just say, complaining to different people. I mean, I've complained to congressmen, senators. I've tried to get information under the Freedom of Information Act, and I've gone through the proper channels, and they will not even respond to me. I've talked to people at the FAA. I did get one fellow at the FAA to tell me that he said that it was a military thing and they couldn't talk about it. I
said more than you should have.
Yeah, I realize that. So, I mean, there is a complete blank denial. You call up the congressman's office, which I've done numerous times, and they just, act like you're crazy. They won't even take your name, and they'll hang up on you. I've addressed to city council people. I mean, I can go on and on. And my question is there anybody out there you can complain to about this? Because whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I don't like it.
Well, you can complain to us, Tony, anytime. Vance, do you have any comment for Tony?
Well, the problem we ran into in 1990 was that you have, if this was 50 years ago, Tony, yes, people would be up in arms over this, because they knew you had spraying of certain chemicals over the town of Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the town was up in arms in the 40s about this, because they were testing how radioactivity would spread. The thing is, people have been, and I'll use a term very loosely here, brainwashed so strong against conspiracy, that they won't even believe it if it hits them in the face.
When you see these little spider web like things descending from the heavens, and they say, "Oh yeah, those are spayed by spiders. You got nothing to worry about."
Exactly. Right. And I mean, I've seen videos from the space shuttles that shows that some kind of war is going on out there that our space shuttles barely missed. And I'm not going to say the Challenger may not have been hit by something. So there's things that are going on that they're not telling us, because they feel it's the government has a policy and a belief that the people are not intelligent enough, aren't smart enough, and educated enough to understand the real world. So it's their role to protect the people and protect the populace, protect their voting populace, so that they feel that they're in control. And what's bad is we see this true every day, that the people tend, when you go ask a government official, give you an example, if you go ask, I want all the evidence you have on UFOs, the government official will tell you there is no such thing as UFOs. The word UFO has not been used since 1958. They have classified it in one term. If you go and do an FOII on, I would like information on your AVIs, and that's alien visitation craft, or AVCs, alien visitation craft, you're going to get a flat denial that you can't get that information because of national security. I've had someone actually try it. This is how they play the game. They don't educate you, the public, how to get information. It's not that it's hidden. It's just they don't teach you how to get it. So someone out there has something. We cannot get the Congress to act because they're just as brainwashed as we are. And they are told that the first place they're going to go, gentlemen, is to the military. And the military or the Air Force or whoever is in control of this project is going to tell them it's nothing to worry about. It's not an issue. They'll tell them you don't know anything, and that's exactly what they'll tell you.
So
until an accident happens.
So is there any agency, government officials, or anyone out there that us schmuck citizens can complain to that won't deny that, you know, and just say, oh, this is your imagination?
Well,
that we can actually complain to?
I perceive.
Like maybe the something about our airspace being violated? I mean, I called the Air Quality Resource Board. They have videos of this stuff going on, but they say it's not their jurisdiction. I called the Monterey Air Quality Resource Board as well. They say the same thing. You know, it's like they're supposed to be in charge of the air quality here, but that's not their jurisdiction.
These are American planes. These are not foreign planes.
Right. Well, I believe they're out of Travis Air Force Base.
And some of them do come out of there. Some of them come out of Texas, too. You have an issue like Arizona and Phoenix, Arizona, the lights in Phoenix, the airspace was done, and basically the local populace went nuts, and they told the government officials if they talked about it, they'd lose their place. And Frances Barwood was one of those city council members that lost her position in the city council because she did complain about the airspace being broken. One thing that can be done, and I have yet to see this happen, the people have to get together. They have to forget this ego stuff. They have to forget this other stuff. There's a lot of people in the chemtrail that wants to be the lead. They want to be the power person to break the ice and get the world to make it a difference. Forget that. The people have to get together in their local populace and complain so loud.
To who?
The local populace, the local government. Okay? So loud and so long that they cannot ignore it any longer.
But complain to who?
Your local government. In other words, you have to get the news behind it. You have to flood them with pictures, with video. In other words, you become such a news...
Wait a minute, do you honestly believe that the local newspaper is going to put in articles day after day after day just because the people complain? They print what they want to print. And
well,
they want to, and our local newspaper is controlled by Dow Jones and Company, which is part of this whole complex, this power complex. You know, they're central, a part of it,
right.
The people who control the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they all tie together. They're not going to print anything. Most of our media is under control. You're not going to get anything done by raising a fuss because they will simply ignore you.
Well, what's interesting, they will, but see, what people do, they send them a videotape, that's the last time they see it. They hear a complaint, that's the last time. What I'm telling you, and this is something that I learned within, okay, you have to hit them every day with something. You have to hit them. You have to become almost like the war protesters. Then they'll start listening. You go out, you hit them with news, you hit them with this. In other words, you become such a nuisance that they can no longer ignore you.
Well, I wish somebody would be that effective, but
I wish too.
Okay. Anything else, Tony?
If you don't mind, a couple of things that I have come across as far as chemtrails, and I hope this isn't too boring, but and I'll just mention a few of the things. Maybe you can comment on it. That one is that barium and aluminum are large components of what's happening. Another is that, this is kind of nutty, but that the Russians are using that Scalar technology.
Scalar, yes.
Scalar, and that this is being used to combat it somehow. Another is that it's weather modification. Another, that there is a blood fungus that is extremely micro, so small that there's only certain microscopes that can see it, and that there's only a few of these in the country. And one lady who was trying to do this had her offices raided and her telescope smashed. That's a pretty good start. But if you could just comment on any of those, and I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it.
Do you have anything to comment on what Tony has raised?
I read the same things, and I just, you know, something's definitely going on, Dr. Stan, and it's just the point that it's gotten so ridiculous now and so full of information. And you got to remember, you have individuals within the government and certain organizations. Their whole purpose is to confuse the subject and confuse the issue.
In other words, what you do is you put out so much information that people can't think or think effectively. For our listeners out there, we have a four-tape set on chemtrails that covers just about everything that's known. And we also have an excellent book called Death in the Air by Dr. Len Horowitz, with a chapter in it by the gentleman who's done most of the research here in the United States and Canada. So let's go to Theodore, who's calling with a quickie comment. Hi, Theodore. How are you?
Chemtrails, because I don't want to hold up the conversation if it wants to go somewhere else, but you mentioned that there's nothing out in the press, and I want to share the good news with you that this month it just came out, the Connection magazine, which is available throughout the Monterey Bay area, down into Monterey, throughout Santa Cruz, even over in Santa Clara and San Benito. It has a wide circulation. Their lead article is on chemtrails.
And what's their conclusion?
It's like your guest says, you know, it's all speculation, depending on, you know, so there's no definitive, but it's alerting people to start paying attention. It talks about what some of the contaminants are that have been found, you know, what some of the experiences are out there, and the connection with the respiratory illness.
I think there's a lot of ethylene dibromide in that, which is a product of the jet fuel, and somehow or other, it's just much more than jet fuel.
Right. Something's going on, and it's time for us to start talking about it publicly. And there is an article that all your listeners can pick up. Look for the Connection magazine. I think there's a contact number in there because they're trying to build. There's some people now locally who are wanting to build a movement, and you're right. It's only going to take citizens rising up and demanding answers that's going to, you know, get us some answers. So starting this month in Santa Cruz with the Connection magazine.
Well, where else but in Santa Cruz? God bless you. I'm glad that they're putting it out and that they would like to.
It's a free paper. It's available most places.
Well, if people would like to come on our program, give me a call with their number.
I will
let them know. Thanks so much.
And thank you for another great program. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yes,
you have to remember that the government uses other news, like the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. They use information and use things in the media to keep us away from other things that are going on. And the only way to defeat that is what she says, is to create such a groundswell of movement and idealism to make people pay attention again. And that hasn't done. We've kind of gotten lazy, I think, or at least brainwashed enough to where, oh, that doesn't affect me or that doesn't really bother me. Until it's right at our doorstep.
But they have something called, there's a term for it, sort of a resonance. They actually get people to disassociate. They've got so many facts, so many conflicting facts out there that people cannot think effectively and clearly about anything. Is the enemy SARS? Is the enemy terrorism? Is the enemy the wicked Saddam Hussein? Is it the wicked Osama bin Laden? Is it chemtrails? Is it some other disease that's coming down the line? Is it the economic problems? Right now, let's go to Jeannie, and she's going to tell us what the real problem is. Hi, Jeannie.
Oh, I am? question. Are the chemtrails only over the skies of the United States or over Europe or Central or South America?
They're being seen in over Beijing, China. They're being seen in Hong Kong quite heavily. They're being seen over, and including Moscow. I have pictures from Moscow that I've seen. I've seen in Buenos Aires. It's being done all over the major cities of most of the world, and including South Africa. Johannesburg is another one.
Are they doing it in Europe?
In fact, Munich, Berlin. I know that's been over Paris, France a few times. And everybody reports jets and this low-flying cloud that comes and basically grows. Where a jet line or a jet line tends to dissipate, these don't. They grow. And that's how you tell the difference. But it's interesting. It's all over the world. And my concern is to get something this large all over the world really points, as Dr. Stan will say, to a conspiracy, a true conspiracy. Because to have that power to do it all over the world means there's other entities or under other organizations in charge that are not nationalistic in view. They're more global.
I think one of the most interesting theories I've heard, Jeannie, was put forward by Craig Roberts, who says he thinks that they're actually just determining how these clouds will drift right now. They're compiling all the data depending upon the wind direction. But when the time comes, of course, they will know exactly when they're really going to spray, where this is going to affect. And then, of course, all hell will break loose.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, fine. And I think it's fascinating that, as you say, Vance, this is worldwide, but everything that's going on is worldwide. I mean, people, I was doing a program in Wisconsin today, and they were worried about smart growth programs there in Wisconsin. And I said, look, this is not Wisconsin. This is all over the world.
Yeah.
This whole idea of sustainable development, of the Wildlands Project, this isn't just for America. This is all over the world.
This is global.
Whole thing is global. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes more. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Yes, I have. In the United States, our diversity is our strength. Remember that. Do not let them divide us. We have to work together. We have to force the issues out in the open so that they can no longer ignore the bottom of the pyramid or the people that live in it. Also, at this point, never believe anything as fact. Read and feel your heart and follow your heart. And with that, I think with whatever system of belief you have, you will not be misled by what's going to happen over the next few years.
And you think that some very momentous things are going to happen?
Yes, I do. Good and bad, yes.
Well, I agree with you, and I hope that you're right, that some good things are going to happen. Now, our guest this evening is Ben Vance Davis, and he's going to be speaking at the Conspiracy Conference, along with a lot of other fascinating people, including your truly, of course. And that's going to be on the Memorial Day weekend, May 24th, 25th. It's over in Santa Clara. If you'd like to know more about this conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website, conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com. Vance, it's a real pleasure. We want to get you on all of our other programs. You're a fascinating guest. And at least we got a great response from our listening audience. And I hope people all across America listening to this program are beginning to question what's going on now. I think that there are supernatural forces out there. I happen to believe they're demonic. You may have a different opinion. The important thing is there's something out there, and we better find out what it is. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And, of course, we hope many of you out there want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which is how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and then you can find out how to listen to our programs, how to get our material. We hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you'd like a copy of our latest newsletter, and that is, of course, the March newsletter, this will take you into the background of understanding the men who control our president. Now, President Bush is controlled by the people around him. Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, certainly Paul Wolfowitz, and they are all part of a secret little cabal. It's called the Project for a New American Century. You can go to their website at www.newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. Get their material. My newsletter deals with this. We want you to get the information. We want you to help to get us out across America. But behind everything that's going on are spirits of forces. Pray for America. Pray for revival in America. Because if the American people don't turn back to God, why if God is going to turn against America? And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow night, when we'll be with you once again, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. If you're out across America, why, of course, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here are the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're going to, of course, get brought up with what's going on up in Sacramento. And with us is Randy Thomason from the Campaign for California Families. Randy, how are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, very good. Thanks for you. Hey, I enjoy receiving your newsletter.
All right, fine. Well, now you'll be getting our latest newsletter. Wait till you read the March newsletter. That'll just that'll ruin your whole day.
Lots of stuff. Lots of information. Thank you for you, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, tell us what's going on up there in Sacramento.
Well, you know, 3 years ago, there were hundreds of churches supporting the Protection of Marriage Initiative, Proposition 22, on the California ballot. It passed overwhelmingly. Yet today, only three churches are officially opposing the homosexual marriage bill in the California state legislature. This bill, called AB 205, would give virtually all the rights of marriage to homosexual partners, putting it into a domestic partnership package in an effort to reverse the vote of the people and fool the people, but they're not going to get away with it. However, I want to say there were 23 very liberal churches which are supporting this bill. Can you imagine that, Dr. Stan?
No, I certainly can. After all, the liberal churches really go along with this whole agenda.
And it's this example of 23 churches supporting the homosexual marriage bill and only three churches officially opposing it, and you've got a combination of a real shame and a real opportunity. And I'd like to invite the listeners to please contact your local church and ask them to write a brief letter of opposition to Assembly Bill 205. Now, this can be done very briefly. All that has to be done is written on official letterhead of your church or your non-church organization. If you have an outside organization or business, you can write it on official letterhead of any kind and just say, our organization or our church or our business opposes AB 205. And Dr. Stan, I'd like to give a mailing address here very quickly.
Go right ahead.
Well, simply address it to Governor Gray Davis and the California State Legislature. But we're going to help you out here. Simply mail it to our organization. We'll get it delivered to the legislature, to the committees, so that your organization, your church, your business is listed as opposing this bill because you want to protect the rights of marriage for only a man and a woman. Now, here's the address. It's CCF. That stands for Campaign for California Families. But just mail it to CCF, P.O. Box 782, Sacramento, California, 95812. That's 95812. Dr. Stan, I mean, it's quite incredible. I mean, there were hundreds of churches that supported the Protection of Marriage Initiative, and there's too many churches, too many pastors, too many people who think that churches cannot get involved with legislation. That is wrong. Even the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, has made it abundantly clear that churches and other 501c3 nonprofits can use an insubstantial amount of their operating expenses, approximately 5% of their budget, to influence legislation. So the question is not can, the question is will. The only issue here is a matter of commitment, and that's what's needed, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And, of course, if you believe in the scriptures, why God has come out and said this is an abomination, and, of course, a society that embraces this eventually is going to be destroyed. It's happened time and again throughout surgery, throughout history, and it is simply a manifestation of man in revolt against God. Homosexuality is exactly the mirror image of God's plan for mankind and reproduction.
It's quite amazing, and it's a doubly wrong thing when the legislature thinks that it can reverse the vote of the people. Now, this is all because of the safe district plan that was agreed to by the Republican and Democrat leadership here in Sacramento that creates safe districts for Democrat and Republican legislators that have created a historic level of arrogance among a Democrat majority. And they have the highest number of co-authors yet of this bill, AB 205. And now it's making some news. Even the most veteran political commentator in the newspapers in California, Dan Walters of the Sacramento Bee, he has written a column saying that the legislature is more liberal than the state as a whole. Now, I'm glad he wrote that, because Gray Davis has got to be looking at what's going on and thinking about it, because he's under a serious recall effort. And if he signs this bill, I think that will be even more people wanting to oust him. Again, the recall movement is going forward. It's about 14 days old. It has just under 5 more months of signature gathering to gather over 1 million signatures, and if you want to see Gray Davis gone, you can place that on the ballot, and you would need to sign the recall petition. A website where you can do so is davisrecall.com. Dr. Stan, the recall movement is growing. They've even produced bumper stickers now.
All right, very good. Well, thank you so very much, Randy. Anything else that you'd like to get out there?
Well, we do have a church bulletin insert as well. Basically, lots of people need to call Governor Gray Davis on this one. And let me give the phone number very quickly for Governor Gray Davis. Please call Gray Davis at 916-445-2841. That's 916-445-2841. Urge Governor Gray Davis to protect marriage and religious freedom. Oppose AB 205 and the rest of the radical, you can call them gay agenda or homosexual and transsexual agenda bills, but there's a whole raft of bills. AB 205 is leading the way, and it's very important. I'd like to invite you to visit our website, the Campaign for California Families website. We put a lot of work into it just for you. Visit us at SaveCalifornia.com. At SaveCalifornia.com, you can print a flyer to get into the hands of people at your church. It's a two-sided flyer entitled Protect Marriage and Religious Freedom. The Bible says, let marriage be held in honor among all, in Hebrews 13:4. And we need to fear what would happen to the brains of the children, to our society, if we get rid of marriage as a unique and special institution. If we say, well, two men can get married, just as well as a man and a woman, that would make wrong right and right wrong. And so please visit our website. You can sign up for free email updates as well. And that's what I'd like to say, Dr. Stan, because we've got to stand up for what's right. I don't think God will be mocked.
All right, fine. Thank you so much, Randy. God bless you, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye. All right, fine. And then we're going to go ahead and we're going to get Brad Dacus on from the Pacific Justice Institute and find out what is actually going on there. Let's see. I don't think we have Brad yet. Do you have Brad? No, I guess you're getting out. I'm going to just clear the third line so our producer can get Brad on the line. And Brad is a nice young man. I've known him for a number of years. He used to work for the Rutherford Institute as their West Coast representative. And when they closed their office here, he was given the opportunity to move to the East. He forego that. He didn't do that. He actually stayed here and put together an institute and got a stable of lawyers who are willing to work pro bono on cases that have to do with religious freedom. And he's doing a great job, the Pacific Justice Institute, and we're certainly grateful to know he's there. Hi, Brad. How are things going tonight?
Oh, going just fine.
So, well, tell us the good or the bad news tonight.
Well, I'll tell you the good news first. The good news is that Dr. Laura was gracious to last weekend put on a large event for us down in Southern California, and that was very gracious, and we had some exciting notables there, and it was a real nice experience for the Pacific Justice Institute to have that kind of a person giving us her support. On the bad news side, we have some terrible strife hitting our public schools tomorrow, in the way of public, in the way of the high schools and the middle schools. I'm sure you've probably already heard about it. That's the day of silence that we're going to be having to deal with tomorrow. We at the Pacific Justice have already are prepared one demand letter to school districts.
Now, what is the day of silence? Why don't you explain it to my listeners?
You bet. Well, this is a day that the homosexual activists have put together, where they're working with students and school districts, where the students are silent all day, and in honor and recognition of fighting alleged discrimination against homosexuality. And also the teachers, a lot of these teachers are going to be silent as well, so the students won't even get any instruction. A lot of these classes will sit there silent.
Well, this is the most incredible thing, Brad, because the worldwide AIDS epidemic is a direct result of the homosexual activity, the gay political agenda, blocking any effective public health measures. Already over 30 million people have died, another 40 million people are infected, and we can lay this whole effort to block an effective public health approach at the doorstep of the homosexuals. You could not have a free and healthy society when you have people who have a political agenda and are willing to kill countless millions of people to pursue their goal of sexual license.
Well, absolutely. And so this is, it's very outrageous, and there's so many young men and women, boys and girls who are working through the gender identity issues, and tomorrow's going to be a sad day because many of them are going to be intimidated to bend their own values, beliefs, and convictions, and unfortunately possibly given to curiosity. So it's most unfortunate. Now, the good news on this end is we have sent out our demand letter. We have prepared it, and we put the one school district already prepared to put them on notice that if there's any harassment in any way of these children, these young boys and girls, that we will take them to court. They still have no right to harass kids. And these teachers, if they get involved in this kind of activism, they're crossing the line and we'll take them to court, as long as we have a parent willing to stand with us to do it. And also, we're going to be working with parents groups up and down California with our new book, Reclaim Your School, which talks and teaches how parents with traditional values, beliefs, convictions, and Christians and others can weigh in on it in a much more powerful and even much more effective way in the days ahead. So we're really excited about that as well. Hopefully this will wake up the complacent to become actively involved in what's going on with our kids.
Well, I think that a healthy society and homosexuality are incompatible. They use the excuse, well, you know, what does it matter what people do in the privacy of their own bedrooms, you know? Do you want a bedroom police or sexual police? But this is not a matter of what happens in the bedroom. It is part of a political agenda.
Right.
It goes right along with the abortion movement, and that's why you'll see the homosexuals out there demonstrating in front of the abortion clinics against the pro-life people. It has to do with the blocking an effective public health approach on the AIDS and so many other issues that, of course, affect every single one of us. And diseases are being spread. We have now antibiotics that don't work because, of course, every AIDS patient simply breeds organisms that can protect it, can affect any one of us. And the fact that nobody ever talks about this within the media, that at least the AIDS epidemic and the immunosuppression is partially responsible for the ineffectiveness of antibiotics today, simply reflects the degree of control that exists of what the American people think. Brad, I'm so glad you're out there in the front line. Would you like to get your telephone number and, of course, your website out there?
You bet. If there's any parents out there at all who want to assistance or are interested in suing one of these school districts on behalf of their children who are affected, they should feel free to give us a call at 888-305-9129. That's 888-305-9129, or our webpage, which is pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org. And we do work completely without charge Thanks to many of your listeners, Dr. Stanley.
God bless you. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, fine. And that was Brad Dacus. And now we're going to Jack Foot. And we're going to be talking about what's happening on the border. And, of course, you'll be amazed to hear about the fact that, you know, we can send our troops all the way around the world to protect other countries. And we can build fences and borders, you know, between Afghanistan and Pakistan. But we're intentionally and purposely and maliciously not protecting our own borders. Now, why would you do something like that? Because the people who control America are dedicated to a multicultural society and destroying the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country. And not that many of the Mexican people aren't good people, but of course, many of the people who are coming in are really revolutionaries. They are part of this Aztlan movement. And of course, their loyalty is not to the United States, but of course to bringing the Mexican culture to the United States and bringing a socialist authoritarian society here. And they are being allowed to come in, actually in many instances financed by the Ford Foundation, which of course holds a large block of Ford stock. And as I see the Ford Motor Company facing bankruptcy, all I can say is, well, at least it'll cut off a lot of the money going to the Ford Foundation. Isn't that too bad? You have to understand the Ford Foundation is one of the most sinister, subversive organizations in America today, and you can only understand why that is by reading my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because we have a great deal in there about who Henry Ford really was, not, of course, as he's been portrayed by the controlled media, but what did Henry Ford really believe in, and, of course, what was his real goal and objective? Well, with us on the line is Jack Foot, and Jack is on the front lines of this battle. Jack, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, sir, for the opportunity to speak to your listening audience.
Well, why don't you tell us who you are and, of course, what's going on down in the border?
Well, for those of your listeners who want to read about us while they're listening, our website address is www.ranchrescue.com. Ranch Rescue is a volunteer organization, a network of independent, autonomous state chapters and members in states without chapters yet. We organize our volunteers several times a year to go down to these rural southern border counties and assist the independent landowners with dealing with the crime wave they've been having to endure for the last 4 years. We've conducted five successful missions prior to our last mission, which was Operation Falcon, in Jim Hogg County, Texas. Along the way, we've helped rebuild fence. We've helped deter trespassers, and in October last year, we intercepted 279 pounds of high-grade marijuana that was coming across private property in Santa Cruz County, Arizona. We're an all-volunteer group. We're not being paid for this. We each participate at our own risk and expense. And these are volunteers, these folks that volunteer to work with us, are motivated by a love of country and by a deep understanding of the role that private property has played in building this nation.
But of
course, our motto is private property first, foremost, and always.
But of course, there are many people within the hierarchy of our government who don't believe in that, who are actually encouraging the illegal immigration, aren't there?
Well, I'm not an expert in immigration, legal or otherwise. We focus on the private property rights issue. But we recognize at the same time that 99% of the property crimes that are committed in these southern rural border counties occur because illegal immigration has not been controlled and our borders are not secured. Now, we're all familiar with the story that came out 3 weeks ago about the six Iraqis who were trying to smuggle a weapon of mass destruction over the border in Texas.
Well, tell us about that, because I'm not sure I heard that.
This was reported in Newsweek, on MSNBC, and on the Fox News Network.
All right, so what sort of a weapon was it?
The specifics of the weapon were never quite revealed. It's also not revealed if these six Iraqis were intercepted or if they were deterred or what happened to them.
Do you remember?
Depending on the story, it was either a nuclear, chemical, or biological weapon of some type that they were trying to get smuggled over the border into Texas.
Do you remember what the week was on that Newsweek article?
That was 3 weeks ago today.
3 weeks ago today. Okay, fine.
And now, Washington Times published a story yesterday about the fact that there were at least 14 Al-Qaeda operatives working in Mexico with the smuggling rings. Now, keep in mind that the same criminal organizations that control drug smuggling also control people smuggling into the United States. If you wanted to smuggle terrorists in, what better way to do it than with the people who do it for a living? The people smugglers who operate all along the southern border of the United States. Most of the time, bringing these illegals and with the terrorists mixed in across privately owned property.
All right, fine. Well, now, Chris, do you actually interdict the people who are coming in illegally and stop them? Can you do that legally?
Well, we're operating on private property as the invited guest of the landowner.
Right.
And we complete a written agreement with the landowner whereby he designates our volunteers and our organization as his limited agent for dealing with any criminal activity that we might encounter while we're guests on the property. That gives us the same rights under state law as the landowner has. Every state recognizes the right of the landowner to evict trespassers from his private property with force if necessary.
All right, fine. But of course, do your people carry weapons? Do they force
Absolutely.
Them back across the border or what?
We do not cross the border. We do not leave the private property.
But I mean, do you force the people to go back across the border?
We force them to leave the property, yes,
right.
sir. Whether that's going across the border or not, that's of no consequence to the landowner. We take our direction from the landowner.
Okay, fine. Of course, you could force them on into the country just as easily as back across the border then.
We'll take our direction from the landowner as his guests. We'll accept whatever decision he makes in terms of where he wants these people evicted from his property.
All right, fine. Well, now, how do the local government officials feel? Are they supportive?
100% against what we're doing.
Why would they be against what you're doing, trying to stop illegals from coming in?
Well, we're not trying to stop illegal aliens. We're trying to stop trespassers.
All right, fine.
The nationality or immigration status of the trespasser or vandal or thief or cattle rustler is of no consequence to our organization.
All right,
it's really of no consequence to the landowner.
All right, fine. So, why would the local officials be against your effort to preserve private property rights?
Well, the way that my grandfather would have put this is he would have said, that's the little dog passing water on the big dog's hydrant. They don't like having their territory usurped. They don't like having someone else come in and do what they're supposed to be doing but aren't.
Why aren't they protecting the property rights of the people who pay their salaries?
That's a darn good question. I mean, you look at the situation that we ran into 3 weeks ago in Jim Hogg County, Texas. We had a sheriff who, the week before we arrived, published a letter in the local paper where he himself, personally, the sheriff of the county, warned the county citizens of the threat from armed, uniformed, foreign military units operating in his county. He wrote a letter to the local newspaper, and it was published the week before we arrived, where he warned everyone about an ongoing series of military incursions into his county. Armed, uniformed paramilitary units had been spotted for the previous 2 years operating in the rural parts of the county. Now add this to the fact that our volunteers spotted a group of 25 wearing black fatigues coming across our host's property in February when we did an initial survey of the property. He himself, the landowner, had seen people armed on his property. This is a severe and credible and deadly threat to the safety of these landowners.
This man and his wife
live in fear for their lives.
These are uniformed people coming across from...
In some cases, yes, sir.
All right. Are they carrying weapons?
Absolutely, sir. They've been spotted carrying weapons. They've been spotted marching in the Al-Qaeda-style cadence, that little hopping trot that they use you see in all the newsreels.
And so the sheriff is aware of this.
Absolutely, he's aware of it. And subsequent to our arrival, he interviewed with WorldNet Daily, with John Doherty, and he confirmed to John Doherty that he was not talking about Ranch Rescue when he made those statements. He was talking about armed foreign paramilitary troops.
Well, now, where do these troops go once they get into the country coming across the border?
Well, that's the interesting thing. If you read his letter, at the beginning of the letter, he says, every time somebody calls us about these troops, we're always too late getting there to find them. But then at the end of the letter, he says, don't confront them, just give us a call.
Well,
in other words, keep doing what you've been doing because it doesn't work.
Right now, of course, are they being picked up on our side of the border and whisked off?
Nobody knows who these troops were, not even our own military.
All right, fine. Well, now, have your people seen anything like this, or are these simply stories that come from the landowners down there?
Now, we had one of our volunteers, when we were there in February of this year to do an initial assessment of the property, one of our volunteers spotted a group of 25 of them moving across the property dressed in black fatigues. This is documented. We notified the landowner, but there were only 10 of us in that initial assessment team. We didn't have the resources to interdict them. But when we did have more people on the property, we were seeing groups of 20 and 30 come up to the fence at night, crawl over the fence, drop down the other side, and run across this man's privately owned property. We saw multiple groups of 20 and 30. We saw well over 100 the night that we apprehended only two.
Now, of course, were these just regular illegal immigrants, or were some of these in these uniforms you're talking
about? Well, keep in mind, sir, we're talking about the dead of night.
Okay.
We're talking about limited visibility. We're talking about night vision equipment. Everybody looks pretty much dressed the same in night vision equipment.
Okay.
You can't really tell what they're wearing or what they're carrying until you confront them. So we're out there as a volunteer group, as invited guests of the landowner, and we're seeing literally, no exaggeration here, sir, literally over 100 people pouring over this fence in the middle of the night. And this is not some little four-foot-high cattle fence we're talking about. This gentleman's property is a game ranch. He's got 8-foot-high fence with barbed wire on the top of it. Let me repeat that. 8-foot-high.
How are they getting over the top of that? Are they putting something over it so
they're climbing right over it like it's not even there.
All right, fine. Now, of course, are these people coming in or armed at all, or are they just coming in?
Sometimes, yes, sir. The ones that we managed to catch did not present any weapons to us, but we assumed going in that everyone was armed because we had seen people in fatigues before, and our host had told us he had seen armed people on his property before. We intercepted two individuals, a male and a female, who turned out later, according to authorities, to be Salvadorans.
Now,
we evicted them from the property, and the next day, two of our volunteers went into the nearby town of Hebronville to get lunch, and they were arrested by the sheriff who had published this letter, which he, by the way, now will not comment on to the media. They were arrested in this tiny little town by this corrupt sheriff and prosecuted by a corrupt DA, and they were charged with assault against these two Salvadorans and unlawful restraint. How someone can unlawfully restrain a trespasser by evicting them from the property has yet to be determined, but they are not able to quote any example of someone evicting a trespasser from private property and it constituting unlawful restraint.
So what actually happened to these...
What actually happened, and I'm speaking as an eyewitness, is that the two people that they are charging are the only two people who never came into physical contact with these two trespassers. These two trespassers were found 50 feet off of the firebreak, lying in snake-infested grass surrounded by cactus. We found them only because we had a search dog with us. We got them on their feet. We searched them for weapons. We searched them for contraband. We moved them to the nearby van, warmed them up, gave them a blanket to wrap up in, gave them food and water, and then drove them to the front gate. And this is a very large property. It's over 4,500 acres, about almost 5,000. Drove them to the front gate and evicted them from the property. We took photographs of them from the moment that we first encountered them to the moment just before they were separated from the property.
Well,
we had an independent French photojournalist there who also spoke Spanish, who acted as an interpreter. He interviewed these two people personally.
All right, we're going to have to talk about this when we get back. It sounds like a fascinating story, and of course, this is the sort of thing people have to understand. If you try to stand up for private property rights today in America, in many places, of course, you will be the criminal, not the criminal.
Yes, sir.
¶¶
this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Jack Foote. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with him, you can go to their website, which is www.ranchrescue.com. Now, of course, did these people lodge a complaint? Because, of course, how would they even, the sheriff, have even known what happened?
Well, keep in mind that we were met at the front gate by the landowner. We notified him by two-way radio. He interviewed these two people in fluent Spanish. And he asked them, at my request, were you mistreated by any of these volunteers? I actually asked Mr. Sutton to ask them this in Spanish. He did this in front of the photojournalist, an independent third-party reporter. And they said no, they had not been mistreated in any way at all. They get off the property. They get arrested by the Border Patrol, even though we told them, you know, the Border Patrol is 7 miles that way, and they walk the opposite direction. They got picked up by the Border Patrol, and the next day, once they were interviewed, all of a sudden these allegations of being assaulted by two of our volunteers surfaced. But these allegations of being assaulted didn't surface until two of our volunteers wandered into town unarmed and in a civilian vehicle just to get some burgers for lunch. And they magically managed to make the testimony of these two so-called witnesses match the two people that they actually were able to get their hands on. Now, at no time did the Jim Hogg County Sheriff's Department have the courage to come out to the property where we were. They wouldn't set foot on it. For one thing, they weren't welcome, and that was the call of the landowner, because he didn't like them. Quite frankly, they hadn't helped him in 4 years. And secondly, they knew that we weren't going to put up with any foolishness like that. And if they wanted to come out and play Gestapo games with us, they would have had a fight on their hands. So what they did was they waited until the first two guys wandered into town unarmed and alone, and they arrested those two, and they made the charges fit the two they were able to actually grab a hold of.
All right, fine. Has the case gone to court?
Not only has it not gone to court, there hasn't been a hearing.
These two guys were held in jail
with no hearing, no arraignment.
Well, of course,
no
that's illegal, and they can actually sue for false arrest then.
Well, our primary goal right now is to get Casey Nethercott freed from his captors. Hank Connor has been released on bail, but Casey Nethercott is still in jail on a $200,000 bond. Well, I don't have $200,000, neither does anyone else in Ranch Rescue. So until we can get a good lawyer who isn't going to try to rip us off and is going to work with us within our limited funds, we're going to have to fight the battle in the media to get him released.
Well, are you getting any help from the local media there?
Oh, absolutely none. No, they're completely in the pockets of this corrupt county government, which we have determined has eminently earned the nickname of the Texas Taliban.
Are you able to get the support from the general people? Because the only way to get rid of a corrupt government is enough people to vote them out. Or is everybody on the take there?
You were talking earlier about the results of uncontrolled immigration. Well, I'm here to tell everyone who's listening, you take a trip down to Jim Hogg County, you get a preview of what our government's going to look like if we don't get a handle on this. This uncontrolled immigration has resulted in widespread voter fraud. Illegals come into the country and participate in our voting process. You will not find a single African-American anywhere in the county government. You will not find any women in any positions of real power. You will not find anyone of any heritage other than Spanish surnamed in any position in that county government. This has resulted in a medieval fiefdom, a patriarchy being created, that operates by its own rules as if it were a third world country.
Well, then can you go to the state government and, of course, point out what's happened and, of course, have this...
But the state government...
Texas government could supersede that.
But the Texas government understands that our message and our purpose within Ranch Rescue is private property rights. You said yourself, sir, our own government doesn't believe in private property rights and has worked diligently throughout the years to destroy our private property
rights.
You're
absolutely right, but I would hope there'd be enough good people in Texas who, you know, do value private property.
Well, we're praying for that, sir. We're organizing volunteers to go back down to Jim Hogg County right now. We are going back to Jim Hogg County on the 26th of April. We are going with at least 200 volunteers, and we are going to convoy down in that strength and arrive as an intact group, not ones and twos like we did before. We've determined that that is the only way to arrive and travel safely in Jim Hogg County, because if they can arrest two of our members on completely fabricated charges, they can arrest everybody.
Well, of course, the one thing, of course, that you have to do would be, you know, to try to, you know, get the ACLU. The ACLU, even if you don't like them, many times...
Sir, the ACLU stands for the American Communist Lawyers.
Oh, I know it does, but once in a while you can actually find an ACLU lawyer who really does believe, you know, in the Constitution. Now, I'm not saying the majority of them do, but...
But the ACLU as an organization doesn't believe in private property rights any more than our own government.
Well, I know, but they do agree, I think, that... it's illegal to arrest somebody and not give them a hearing. If you don't give somebody a hearing, you know,
we've
they have the right to get out.
We've tried contacting them. We've tried Amnesty International.
Have you tried ACLU?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they won't take it then?
No, and this is really kind of surprising, considering the fact that when Casey and Hank were arrested, they were denied medication for the first 48 hours. Hank Connor has high blood pressure. He requires two different types of medication to manage it. Casey Nethercott has pancreatitis. So he has to have insulin every couple of 3 days. If he doesn't, he begins to hemorrhage internally. Both of them were denied all medications for the first 48 hours. It wasn't until Casey Nethercott began to bleed from his mouth that he got any medical attention. We had to bring insulin from our campsite to the jail before they would actually provide him with it. When they moved him from Brooks County Jail down to Starr County Jail, where he is right now, they did not move his insulin with him. We had to make a phone call to the state commissioner on jails to get him to force Starr County to provide him with insulin and a medical examination on a daily basis. Without his insulin, Casey Nethercott will die. And in fact, from what he has told us from jail on the telephone, he has been told that he will die there. They are trying to kill my friend. And they're trying to kill him because they are a ruthless criminal organization that is masquerading as a legitimate county government.
Then you are certainly going to have to get somebody within the state judicial system, and off the air I could possibly give you the name of some people who know people in key positions. Perhaps they can help you.
God bless you if you can provide that, sir. We'd really appreciate it. More importantly, we'd appreciate any... card-carrying member of the Texas Bar Association who would volunteer his time as an attorney, and we will compensate him as best we can for his costs.
Well, you get in touch with me off the air, and because we're going to have you on several times, and I do have some people who know people there, and I'd like you to tell them your story and just see if they really will help, because these are people who are in key positions there in Texas. So
yeah, the story gets even worse. When you look at the lack of Sixth Amendment protection that our friend has been given, he's been denied an attorney. He's supposed to have been appointed an attorney by the court. Jose Luis Ramos was appointed as the attorney. Jose Luis Ramos, another part of his Texas Taliban crew, has been claiming that Casey Nethercott refused to see him. But Casey has told us this guy never came to see him and does not return his phone calls. Jose Luis Ramos, or Casey Nethercott, is lying. My money is not on Jose Luis Ramos, considering that he is part of this problem, and he tried to get money out of me and Hank Connor's sister after he had been appointed as the attorney by the court.
Mm-hmm.
This man is unethical, this man is a criminal, and this man has broken the law and violated the trust and the rights of my friend Casey Nethercott.
And those are the good things you can say about him. Well,
yes, sir.
All right, fine. Well, it sounds like, of course, that there is an organized effort down there to intimidate you and your group. And of course,
it hasn't worked with our group, but it's hurting Casey Nethercott.
They're in real trouble because, first of all, they have to have these people who are here illegally testify against them. Do they know where they are?
The two Salvadoran or alleged Salvadoran accusers of Casey Nethercott and Hank Connor are nowhere to be found. Nowhere can we find a record of their so-called statements. Nowhere can we find any physician's examination to verify or corroborate these claims of their injury. There are no photographs of their injuries. We took photographs. We have statements. We have provided affidavits. But none of this has been provided by this Texas Taliban crew. They're acting, again, as an illegitimate, illegal, corrupt criminal organization, not as a legitimate government.
Well, of course, unfortunately, this is not the first community that has been taken over by a corrupt and evil people. And, you know, are there just not enough good people down there to get rid of them? Then, of course, you're going to...
Well, let's put it this way, sir. Hebronville has a lot of very, very nice homes, but no industry, no work, no good-paying jobs. How are these people paying for these homes if they're not involved in something illegal?
You're going to have to answer that question, but of course it could well be. Now, is there a lot of drugs that are coming across the border?
Oh, good Lord. I can take you to places along the border where you can literally, not figuratively, literally drive a semi-truck over the border from Mexico into the United States. I have pictures of this place. This is a place where there was a gravel road built on the Mexican side right up to the Rio Grande, where the Rio Grande is only about 50 yards wide and 4 inches deep and lined on the bottom with rocks. It's not very hard to drive an 18-wheeler over that. I took pictures of it because that gravel road was built for one reason and one reason only, to provide a conduit for illegal crossing into the United States of very large vehicles.
All right,
I've stood there. I have the pictures.
I want to know, are there any pictures of vehicles after actually coming across?
We will get those eventually. But as you can probably understand, staking out these areas with cameras and personnel doesn't come cheaply.
I'm sure it doesn't.
And those types of cameras that can take video footage at night are not cheap. We formed a national organization just recently, and we're applying for 501c3 status. And we're going to solicit donations in order to be able to purchase those types of equipment. That is our goal for this year. For 2003, our goal is to get that video footage of these illegal crossings by large vehicles and these illegal crossings by armed, uniformed, military, and paramilitary units.
Well, do you feel that these are Mexican? Do you feel that some of these may be Arabian? They may be Middle Easterners?
The only way to find out, sir, is to stop them and talk to them. Until that happens, we're not going to know where they come from. We're not going to know what they're carrying. We're not going to know what their intentions are.
Well, now, of course, is this a problem all along the border, or is just in this one area where you're working out?
Cochise County, Arizona, fiscal year 2000, they apprehended 289,200 illegal aliens in just that county. That's one county on the border. That is the number one crossing point from Mexico into the United States. Do you know what they've done with the highway checkpoints on the major highways leading out of Douglas, Arizona, north into the United States? They have closed them down, sir. Those checkpoints were closed down 3 months ago.
Well, of course, that's, of course, what our federal government's doing to fight terrorism.
And
we've said all so many times, this whole war on terrorism really is not a war on the people coming in here illegally and potentially terrorists, but really on the American people.
And the bulk of the Border Patrol forces since last month have been concentrated at the points of entry. Those official ports of entry are on the highways. They're not out in the desert. You can literally go to the desert in some of these sections out in Arizona and not see Border Patrol for days. I've been there. I helped intercept 279 pounds of high-grade marijuana coming across private property. Where the hell was law enforcement? Why am I having to be out there as an unpaid volunteer? Not only am I an unpaid volunteer, I have to pay for my own gas money to get there and back. I have to live in a tent, so does every other volunteer. We live under harsh conditions. We work our butts off for no pay for somebody we've never met before. Where is law enforcement?
Well, of course,
they're complaining they don't have enough manpower. You know what? I've got manpower. I've got plenty of volunteers willing to get out there and walk the line. Nobody wants to allow us to do that. In fact, they want to arrest our volunteers and throw them into jail and make up these false charges against them and try to smear our organization and imprison our individual members. Well, no more. We're not going to allow our volunteers to wander into town by themselves anymore. Whenever we go anywhere, we're going to go in a very large group, and we're going to go very well armed.
Well,
we're not going to tolerate this foolishness any further.
But the problem is, of course, that when you begin having armed confrontation with the law enforcement, why then that's going to eventually justify imposing martial law. They bring in the federal troops, they'll impose martial law, and they're just looking for an excuse to do that.
If that was a threat, then where is it? Where is law enforcement? We haven't seen them. That's the problem. They're not out there in the wilds. They're not out there on the private property. They're not protecting these citizens. They're turning their backs on our own people. They're leaving our own citizens to fend for themselves. Well, you know what? We figured out what their tactic is. Their tactic is to wait until we come into town alone and unarmed. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to go out to these properties, and we're going to stay there for the entire duration.
All right, fine.
We're going to stay there.
I would certainly, at all expenses, avoid a confrontation over the corrupt local law enforcement.
Well, that'll only happen if the corrupt local law enforcement dares to set foot on the private property. That didn't happen on this last mission, and it's never happened on any other mission. When we're out there as a group, local law enforcement avoids us like the plague.
Now, how many
only when we separate and we go into town in small individual ones and twos that they have the courage to face us.
Now, how many people did you have altogether with your group on the average when you go down there?
Well, let's talk about the time we went to Arizona. We had well over 40 volunteers, nearly 50. But there were only 13 of us on the mountaintop that night. We intercepted those two different groups of drug smugglers. It doesn't take a whole lot of people to make this happen. It takes good planning, and it takes professional execution. And that's exactly what we have.
Now, of course, are the drug smugglers armed themselves?
Absolutely. The people smugglers have begun arming themselves.
Border Patrol reports
that there has been an increase in the number of armed assaults against Border Patrol agents in the last year. In fact, the most startling increase has just been within the last 6 months.
So is that why they may be taking them off the border and putting the other in the regular crossings, because they don't want the
country? That doesn't help the rural border county citizens who live out there and work out there and have to deal with this crime wave. We're not talking about the problem of illegal immigration anymore. We're talking about the problem of armed criminals running wild out on privately owned property inside the United States of America. We're not going to stand for that. And as long as these landowners are willing to invite us out to their property as their guests, we're going to keep coming.
Now, what sort of animals, you said this was a game preserve you were working on. What sort of animals did they have?
I personally saw gazelle, kudu, elk, deer, and some African species with horns that I can't pronounce.
All right. Well,
there are also wild pigs, coyote, bobcat, mountain lion. You name it. It was out there.
All right, fine. So they don't have any other more vicious animals like lions or things of that sort.
There may be some mountain lion out there. We didn't see any sign or indication of them, but they're certainly prevalent in that area. They may not be actually on the ranch, though, because of the game fence.
How large?
Hopefully they're not out there, but the wild pigs are dangerous enough.
I'm sure they are. Well, of course, you know, the tragedy is, of course, that the people living in the cities don't see this. They're not threatened by this lawlessness. And so the average individual just is not that concerned, although they should be, because, of course, when government turns its back on one man's private property rights, then no man's private property rights or personal rights are safe.
Yeah.
Our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How did you happen to get involved in this, Jack?
Well, I got involved in this starting about 3 years ago. We actually formed the organization in June of 2000. But it came about because a group of us were sitting around talking about the situation that a rancher in Arizona was facing. He had been on the news several times. His name is Roger Barnett. Roger patrols his own privately owned property, and he does so with the help of his friends and relatives, and his dog, Mike, and the Second Amendment, because nobody will keep the trespassers off of his property. And I've talked to Roger. I've walked his property with him. I've ridden in his truck with him. And he has told me, and I believe him, that on a good day, he only sees 150. On a good day. On a bad day, he'll see upwards of 500 coming across his property. Where is law enforcement? You can pick up the phone and dial 911. All like my granddad used to say, that dog don't hunt, because they take a day or two to get out there. I've talked to a man who lives in that same county named John Petrello. John told me that a group of 12 of them tried to run down his 4-year-old daughter and his pregnant wife on his land. And he only stopped them because he had a handgun, and he put rounds into the dirt in front of them. He called this into the sheriff's department of Cochise County. He said, I have fired shots into the ground in front of a group of 12 who were trying to attack my wife and daughter. shots fired. Don't you think that would get someone from 911 to respond? They told John to hang up the phone and call the Border Patrol because they weren't interested. That is the level of the threat that we have in our border county. I have talked to a woman who was home by herself when someone broke into her home and ransacked the living room, and she walked into the living room holding a rifle and held a group of 12 of them outside of her front door while she dialed 911 and got no answer. She dialed 911 again and again got no answer. She lives in Duval County, which just happens to be right next to Jim Hogg County, where we were 3 weeks ago. So she called Jim Hogg County, and they wouldn't come help her. She finally got them to call the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol showed up an hour after the trespassers who had ransacked her home had left, and they didn't do anything. Well, God bless this woman. She had a rifle handy. She had the ability to defend herself. But 11 months after that incident, she woke up in her own bed with someone else's hands around her throat. And after all of this, her husband is a uniformed police officer, and he can't protect her if he leaves her home alone. They're afraid to stay in their own home now because she's been attacked twice. Both times, she has only emerged alive because she knows how to use a firearm. And both times, it was by illegal aliens who had trespassed onto the private property and picked her as a target of opportunity.
Well, I think the great tragedy is, of course, that before long this will be in our cities as well, because I think we're moving into an increasing state of lawlessness here. And, of course, when the law enforcement refuses to enforce the law and when our courts are corrupted in certain areas, then no man's life or property are really safe. And this is the tragedy. I think it's down on the border, but it's going to spread across America unless the good people get involved. And the tragedy is, Jack, that most people are so comfortable today and so affluent, they can't believe anything terrible could happen here in America. But I think it's going to.
You don't have to wait for the effect to be seen later on in the big cities north of the border. That effect is already being seen. I talked to a criminal attorney from Atlanta at least once or twice a week, and he tells me what goes on in the criminal courts in Atlanta, Georgia, where the same crime committed by a criminal alien that would have earned him a jail sentence had he been a U.S. citizen gets him nothing more than deportation. You can commit a crime as a U.S. citizen and wind up in jail, but if you commit that same crime as a criminal alien from Mexico, you get sent back to Mexico to turn around and come back and try it again. How many times did Resendez cross the border to murder people before he was finally stopped?
And for our listeners, do you want to tell our listeners who that gentleman was? Because this was
he was the railway killer that we dealt with about a year and a half ago.
And
he caught this guy after he murdered multiple citizens inside the United States.
I mean, we're talking 14, 15, 16 people. I forgot the number of people he killed. And he was picked up repeatedly, and nothing was ever done about him.
Well, God bless the Border Patrol agents in the field, but may God damn every single one of their management.
Well, I think
they have not done their jobs.
Well, I think we have to understand that you get promoted not because you're doing a good job, but because you're a treacherous individual, you're willing to go along with this corruption. And this is the great tragedy. And until the American people understand that some of the most powerful and wealthiest people in this country are solidly behind this movement of illegal aliens, and encouraging these incursions into our country because they want to control, they want to basically convert us into a multicultural society and destroy the basic heritage of this country until people understand that. And of course, when that happens, the good Mexican people here who come here for an opportunity and willing to work hard and come in legally, they're going to lose just like everybody else does. And this
I have
is what
no people problem
don't understand.
People legally immigrating to the United States, as long as we, the people, have a voice in how many come in each year and who they are.
But of course, the government
is immigration in
this encouraging
nation is not a right. Immigration into this nation is a gift that's given by the people of this nation to whom we choose.
Yes, but unfortunately, on two previous occasions, the administration has made the illegal immigrants legal, and George Bush would do this, without batting an eyelash if he didn't know there'd be a tremendous outcry against this. He's tried repeatedly to make, for the third time, all the illegal immigrants legal, and you're talking about another, at this point, probably somewhere between, 7 and 10 million illegal immigrants in the present...
The estimates that I have heard have been upwards of 20 million. Illegals in the nation currently.
Well, of course, George Bush wants to make this legal, and I just don't understand why he would want to do a thing that would destroy the very fabric of our society.
More importantly, why would he do something that would result in the destruction of private property rights?
Right,
apparently where our local, county, state, and federal governments are headed. Remind me again, sir, what was that first plank in Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto?
Yes.
Abolish all private property.
Right. Well, let's see who we've got on the line here. We've got, is this Tony from SoCal?
Yeah, hi.
A quick question. We're almost out of time.
It is a fast question. I know Texas is a big state. I believe Ron Paul's in District 15. Have you approached Ron Paul?
The case what we're talking about, if what you're talking about is our two guys who were arrested. This occurred in the 28th Congressional District. This is the same congressional district that was the district of Congressman Ciro Rodriguez. Ciro Rodriguez, by the way, actually got onto the O'Reilly Factor and said, and I quote, "There is no chaos on our border." If you doubt that, you can look the sound file up on the Ranch Rescue website media page. This guy is not dealing with reality.
Well, maybe he...
Not only did our two guys get arrested in his district, the lady that I told you about, who's been the victim of two home invasions at the hands of illegal aliens, is also in his district. He says there's no chaos in the border, and she's one of his constituents.
Okay, does that answer your question, Tony?
I was just wondering if Ron Paul had been contacted, if there's anything he could do, because he does seem like...
We've written every congressman we can think of, and no one is answering our emails.
He doesn't answer mine either.
Okay, we're out of time, Tony. Thanks so much. And, of course, I want to thank you, Jack, and we'll look forward to having you on some of our other programs.
Absolutely, sir.
This is a very, very important message, and I hope that some of the people will go to your website and perhaps that ranchrescue.com and perhaps even want to help you in your efforts to reach people and let them understand that we're involved in a serious battle for the survival of American civilization. There was an organized effort to change us from the country that we were into a multicultural society where anarchy reigns.
We're going to start it by destroying private property rights.
Amen to that. Point number one in the plank of the Communist Manifesto. Jack, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for letting me be on your program, sir.
Good night. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our program with Jack, and, it's an incredible, incredible story. There are good people out there who are concerned about what's going on, but quite frankly, I'm sure they need your help, and, of course, they need your prayers as well. Well, this is the time, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for, certainly, revival in America, because I'm firmly convinced if the Christians of America aren't willing to stand up for right, and of course more people are not willing to do what is right in this country, why, of course, we're going to lose America. And of course we deserve to. And the great tragedy is most Christians have been convinced we're going to be raptured out of here before anything bad happens. And I would just like to know where in the Bible it says that. Oh, tell me exactly where it says that we're going to be raptured maybe 10, 20, 30 years after America is destroyed. What are you going to say to your kids? Well, gee, I thought we were supposed to be raptured. We had nothing to worry about. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and we'll be back tomorrow at the same time. Until then, may the Lord be with you. do you think?